The close of Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples that they would be taking up their cross. That kind of means giving attention to Jesus as Savior, showing other people what happened on the cross. Also means that they would be suffering for him. Yet, after suffering will come glory. Our pattern, disciples' pattern, Jesus' pattern, suffering then glory. The very last verse of Matthew 16 talks about getting rewards. And then it says that some of them would still be alive when they see the glory of God. So we'll go ahead and reread the last verse of Matthew 16. Then we'll go on to Matthew 17, where the glory of God comes to earth. Matthew 16:28. Surely I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus had just said, verse 21, he would go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer and die at Jerusalem. But then the Son of Man would come again and he would show them glory. However, a few of them are going to see glory before the second coming, which is what Matthew chapter 17 is all about. What will Jesus look like when he comes as king? Well, he will look like this as we now go on to Matthew 17 and verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them on a high mountain, up on a high mountain by themselves. Well, the last location referenced in Matthew 16 was in the north part of Israel, Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a place earlier of Baal worship. It's like a tall cliff, and out of it comes the water. And they had made it a place of Baal worship, and out comes the water, and down flows a stream, and it becomes one of the waterfalls in Israel, Banias Falls. Well, Jesus had been in the north part of Israel, so 6 days later, still probably in the north part of Israel. And the north part of Israel has the tallest mountain in Israel, Mount Hermon. And today one can still see snow on it. It has a ski resort, but it's been closed because of the war. But one even in Galilee can look up there and see that very tall mountain, snow, 9,000 feet plus. Jesus loved all the disciples to the same degree. He loves with agape, committed love, all of us now with the same degree. But that's agape love. He can feel better about some individuals than others. Philia love, like Philadelphia. He can now feel better about some Christians than others. He loves everybody with committed love the same, but he can feel better. And there seems to be three special apostles. They get picked out, Peter, James, and John. The two brothers were sons of Zebedee, and they were the fishermen. We won't talk about the other James, but Jesus had a half-brother named James, and he's not a believer at this time. You know, he will believe later after he sees the risen Lord, and he will become an elder in the Jerusalem church, and he will write the book of James. This is a different James, and he's going to be killed real soon among the first martyrs. Martyr means witnesses. It's actually what the word witnesses, they will be killed in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. Peter and James and John were separated several times by themselves. Earlier, they went to see the synagogue official's daughter raised from the dead. So Jesus was going into this house, and there was a little dead girl, and a raiser from the dead. He took along these three. Later, these three will go into the Garden of Gethsemane. They're all around, but he takes these three further in. They're going to be sleeping while Jesus is praying, but he will have them wake up when Judas comes. So they went into the house to watch the little girl rise from the dead. They went deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane to see Judas. And here, these three, they get to see the transfiguration. So while he loved all of them the same, there were three special ones, and it occurs over and over again. They're kind of special. And they're up on this high mountain, probably Mount Hermon, and now they see something. Verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. Well, they translate it transfigured. I think now we might get away with it, except it's used of insects. Metamorpho. Metamorphosized. So maybe it got translated transfigured because they don't want a connection to, you know, biology and insects. But he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the helios, like the sun. And it was white. I'll have to stop and not give all the Greek words, but it was white. We're getting Matthew's account here. Peter saw it. And Gospel of Mark gives Peter's memory. And I'll always remember, as you get to do the Greek word on a test, what is the word for launderer? That's not too often in the Bible, the Greek word for launderer. But he was white, more white than a launderer can make anything. We would say bleached. More white than anything that could be bleached. His face was white, spotless, sinless, going away. And they are seeing Jesus. They will hear some talking now. Verses 3 and 4. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three huts, tents, tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. When people in the Old Testament died and departed, it is commonly believed they went down. There were two separate parts before the ascension of Jesus, one for saved, one for unsaved, but they often went down. But we have two people in the Bible. Elijah went up in a chariot. And Moses, it doesn't say much about him, but it does say that God buried him separately and God took him. So it seems like most people went down in the Old Testament period before the ascension, but these two went up. Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. Luke gives a little bit more. Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' departure. Well, the departure would be going up to heaven, but the Greek word for departure is Moses and Elijah were talking about the Exodus. It's the Exodus of Jesus going up into heaven, but perhaps Peter hears the word Exodus and thinks of the Old Testament Exodus. And he thinks, here are Moses and Elijah, and we should make huts, tents, tabernacles. They did this in Passover celebrations. That's kind of what Jewish people did. They made little tents and huts. And so, shall we make tents and huts? Again, the Gospel of Mark gives Peter's own wording of it, and others were hesitant to say this, but the Gospel of Mark says Peter was crazy. He did not know what to say because he was terrified. So Peter said something a little bit mixed up. They were talking about the departure, going up to heaven, but he thought it was about the Exodus. Shall we make these tents? Looking at these glorified bodies, we should say Jesus was, I believe, human. This isn't God. God is even more glorious. And when they see even a covered part of God later, they'll all fall down to the ground. So Jesus is in his human body, and they could at least look at it. They could hear him talking, and the human body will be what we're going to be. We're going to be like this. This is not an appearance of God. This is an appearance of Jesus as human, and we're going to be like this. Now, I think maybe to save some time, I will read for us, but Peter describes this transfiguration in 2 Peter chapter 1. I will read verses 16 and 18. We did not follow cleverly devised tales, fables. We made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then he defines what he was an eyewitness of. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we had the prophetic word made more sure. And then it says to pay attention to it like a light in a dark place. So the Bible itself and prophecies show the truth of the life of Christ. But Peter says even beyond the Bible and prophecies that he had, he actually saw God's glory. And he was an eyewitness, and he wasn't lying to us. We're not following fables. We're not following myths. And John said the same thing in John 1:14. We saw his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So the three apostles saw the glory of God. He said, "You will be seeing it shortly." And they were able to look at him and see him because it's kind of his human body. But now, God kind of comes. God kind of comes even though he's overshadowed, and they're not going to be able to look at God. And that's Matthew 17, verses 5 through 8. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud, Nephilos, overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came up to them and touched them and said, "Get up, do not be afraid." And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Well, they were able to see and listen to the glorified bodies of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, glorified humans. But when they hear God speaking and see even an overshadowed part of God, that's it. Could not see God fully, could not see even God partially, fell down. So that's the way it will be in eternity. We will see God more. We won't see God fully. Fully, he's kind of invisible. So in the line from heaven, listen to him. Listen up. Acoustics. The original word is related to acoustics. Listen up to him. There is a contrast between God talking at the baptism and God talking at the transfiguration. Most of the lines are all the same. Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 22. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Period. Now here, in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Listen to him. He will teach you the truth. Listen to him. He will tell you what God wants to be done. Peter, James, and John were still fallen on the ground, having seen part of God's shining. Looks like Moses and Elijah went away, and then Jesus came all by themselves and told them to get up. Time to go down the mountain. He tells them to be quiet now in verse 9. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Well, they weren't supposed to talk about it yet. Later they will, but even in the Acts, in the early part of the church, they did not so much talk about the transfiguration. In Acts and after Resurrection Day or Easter, they talked about Jesus died for our sins and rose again. That is the good news to unsaved people. Jesus died for our sins and rose again. We don't start out with Jesus glistened like a shining light. They're not ready for that yet. Believers are. We can take joy and confidence that Jesus appeared to these three and they told us about it. And we have greater confidence, but that's not the gospel. Gospel is the cross and the resurrection. That's the main message. So, like, for now, keep it quiet. And they kept it quiet even in the early part of the book of Acts. Now on the way down, he talks to them a little bit more about Elijah. And his disciples asked him, "Why then did the scribes say that Elijah must first come?" And he answered and said, "Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah," the type of Elijah, "has already came. But they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. Elijah will still come. That's why we had Jim read the what to us is the final verses of the Old Testament. And the final verses of the Old Testament are, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant." And then it says, "Elijah will come. I'm going to send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." Now they're kind of wondering here, is this the fulfillment of Elijah's coming? Well, John the Baptist was a type. It looks here like Elijah must come back again. Jewish people with Passover have an Elijah plate. Elijah will come to the Passover, so they're still understanding Malachi that Elijah must still come, so they have the plate. I think probably the two witnesses in the book of Revelation include Moses and Elijah. The names are not used in Revelation chapter 11, but in the end time it says two witnesses will come for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and they will have the power to stop rain. Sounds like Elijah in the book of 1 Kings. And they will have the power to turn water into blood. And that sounds like Moses in Exodus chapter 7. So it seems like Moses and Elijah will both come back, and they will be the two witnesses in the book of Revelation that they will come again. Although he's saying one like Elijah already did come before the first coming. This is actually a repetition to them. He said the same thing in Matthew 11, 13, and 14. "All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If you're willing to receive it, this John himself is Elijah who was to come." So, forerunner, John the Baptist, like Elijah, probably looked like him. Long hair, kind of wild looking. That was the type of Elijah at the first coming, but Elijah will come back. It could refer to the two witnesses in Revelation. Let's give some of the conclusions from this part of the life of Jesus study. The transfiguration shows Jesus' future glory, but again, we will be like him. This is human glory, We're going to be like him in his humanity. We shall be like him, 1 John 3, 2. He shined like the sun, no sin. Someday our sin will be taken away, but not yet. But he had no sin, shining like the glory. Believers are conscious after death. There is kind of the theological thought of soul sleep. Believers die and they're buried, but their soul sleeps. I think that's Seventh-day Adventist. I'd have to look it up. But soul sleep? No, they were conscious. Moses was conscious. The rich man and Lazarus was conscious right away. God the Father identified his son at the baptism, but he adds right here, listen to him. And it's added in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Listen to him. His teachings are correct. His commands are what God wants us to do. Will the musicians please come?